Hi, I'm Pinakin Munshi, and today we are going to cover Chapter 9, which talks about future trends in rural supply chain management. What are the learning objectives that we are going to cover today? Understand the concept of integrated rural supply chain networks, learn about emerging technologies and innovations, understand the role of policy and government support in the context of rural supply chains, know about what will happen next, that means what are the future trends, predictions about how rural supply chain will be in future. So what are integrated rural supply chain networks? According to N. Vishwanathan, who is the Executive Director of Center for Global Logistics and Manufacturing Strategies, BLAM for short, at the ISB, and a clinical professor in operations and rural supply chain are the next big thing for researchers and businesses in India and China. So operations and rural supply chain are going to be the focus areas, as mentioned, you know, both for India and China. So let's look at what are the implications. So in his article, he said that the future belongs to the rural supply chain network, and India can benefit from such integrated networks. Excerpts from the article are produced here, which we will see. The use of different technologies has given rise to a new idea of integrated rural supply chain network. So, what are the integrated rural supply chain networks? Integrated rural supply chain network serves as a systems design to establish efficient and interconnected pathways that enhances the prosperity of rural economies. So it is a way by which the integrated supply chain can efficiently deliver on the benefits to these rural supply chain, resulting in prosperity of the rural economies. So by improving the market access, optimizing resource utilization, and increasing the operational efficiency, these networks play a significant role in rural development, thereby creating enhanced economic opportunities for farmers and local enterprise. So you can see it's a very holistic view. What are we talking about? We are talking about enhancing or improving the market access. That means opening up bigger markets for the rural economy, optimizing of the resources utilization, which also talks about, reducing the cost, further increasing operational efficiency, which again means reducing the cost, at the same time improving the yields. So all these can actually play a significant role in enhancing the opportunities, economic opportunities for the farmers and the enterprises, the rural enterprises. Integrated rural supply chain networks refer to a system of interconnected business. We have seen this, that when we talk of rural supply chain, it's the entire supply chain right from the, let's say, the supplier of the seeds, etc., right up to the end consumer. So this refers to a system of interconnected businesses, organizations, and resources that work together to efficiently deliver goods and services from rural producers to urban or global markets. So in this context, let us look at what are the aspects here. So input-output schematic of the integrated rural supply chain network. Structure of the rural supply network, the integrated supply network. We will also look at the orchestrator model and what it means, and what are the key features of this IRSN. So this is the input-output schematic. What are the inputs? So as you can see on the left-hand side, you have the farm labors, you have the farm inputs, etc. On the other side, you have the value additions which happen on the farm produce. You also have the processing houses and technology, and likewise, you have the finance, the logistics, etc., on the other side. So these are the various inputs which go into the output, which is basically the agri output or the agri produce which comes out of the industry. So talking about the input-output schematic, an input-output model of rural supply chain illustrates the movement of goods, services, and resources across various sectors of the rural economy. So we are basically visualizing what are the inputs which go into this particular industry and what are the outputs. So it emphasizes the process by which inputs such as raw material, which are in this particular case will be your seeds, your fertilizers, other inputs, tools, etc. The other inputs are the labor and of course capital, because to purchase materials, you require the capital. So these are converted into output, including value-added products. So we'll see what are those value additions that are possible. So finished products and or services. Furthermore, it examines the distribution, consumption, and sale of these outputs within the rural economy. So you are not only looking at the distribution, consumption to the urban areas, but also the sale of these outputs within the rural economy. This framework may encompass sectors such as agriculture, manufacturing, transportation, and retail, thereby underscoring the interconnection among them. So we have already seen that it's a interconnection between the supplier of the inputs, the actual farmers or the manufacturers, any value addition which is done, which is the processing before the material can go to the market, the buyers who are actually buying, which could be, you know, the large grocery chains, etc., and then finally the end consumer. And there are various other agencies which are also interconnected in terms of logistics, in terms of finance, in terms of insurance, etc. This is the structure of the integrated rural supply chain network. Now, as you can see, there is a network which is within the dotted line. And you can see that you have the farmers on one side, you have the consumers on the other side. The consumers can be a distributor, or they can be directly the retailers to whom the material is being sold. As we have seen, currently there are a lot of platforms which allow material to be directly, you know, sold to the retailers, who are in turn selling it to the end consumers. And then you also have the food processors or food manufacturers, who are also one of the buyers who are directly buying it from the farm produce. You must have seen that, I mean, you have people like making tomato ketchup or chips, etc. So these are actually directly buying the produce from the farmers. Also, you have various service providers. And of course, in between, you have the logistics hub. Because at every stage, whether it is for the inputs or it is for the output, which is going to the retailer, the distributor, or the food manufacturers, etc., logistics is required and plays a role there. So let's look at the structure of the integrated rural supply chain network. So it consists of three distinct, well-structured sub-network. So they facilitate movement of the goods, information, and financial resources. So we have seen that in the earlier slide, there is an internal network and there is an external network. So you have the various boxes which, you know, basically mark the movement of goods, the movement of information, and of course the financial resources. A logistics network, an information technology network, and a financial network. Logistics network is where the material movement takes place. Information network is where basically your material requirement and demand information is flowing. Technology network will again be where the technical inputs are flowing. Financial network is where your credit and your insurance information flows. The logistics network ensures an efficient flow of material among all partners, thereby reducing lead times and cost associated with the transporting raw material, sub-assemblies, and finished product to the respective destinations. So we have seen that, you know, the inputs need to come to the farmers, And likewise, once the produce is ready, it has to go to the consumers or the retailers, distributors, as the case may be, which is the intranet. An extranet serves as a secure and dependable communication platform that connects all companies within the network, fostering information integration that supports efficient logistics and informed decision making. So, you know, the demand information is constantly being exchanged, which basically drives the logistics network. So the demand or the orders, when they are received or they are placed, then the material movement happens. So the logistics is driven by the information network or the information integration. Additionally, a secure financial network links financing, insurance, and credit rating agencies along with other stakeholders and financial institutions. So we have seen that financial institutions like the government or financial institutions like bank, etc. So they also play a role in the microfinancing, in the credit facility for the farmers, or in terms of insurance. So here, you know, it could also be the insurance companies which will play a role in this particular network. So structure of the integrated rural supply chain network. So consequently, the ecosystem supporting an agile rural supply chain includes participants from agriculture, manufacturing, retail, finance, and ultimately the consumer. So we have seen that this structure that we saw covers the entire gamut, right from the suppliers, the actual agriculture, the manufacturing, that means any value addition which is done, or even the food industry, where, you know, the agricultural produce is actually directly purchased by the manufacturer who convert it into value-added products. Retail, who are selling it basically to the end consumers, and of course the finance network, who are concerned with the credit or the financing, and of course the insurance. So this represents an optimal rural supply demand financial chain. Let's look at the orchestrator model in a integrated rural supply chain network. So what happens here is that you have an independent body which is basically sourcing the material and which is coordinating or orchestrating the activities. So you have an end consumer on the right hand side. They have a requirement, they place an order on the orchestrator. The orchestrator actually instructs or places order on the supplier. The supplier places or supplies material to the contract manufacturer. They are using the logistics services of a third-party logistics firm. So that is how the material is supplied to the contract manufacturer. The contract manufacturer, based on the order provided by the orchestrator, will produce the material and, with the help of a third-party logistics, supply the material to the end consumer. So this is how the orchestrator model works, where the orchestrator works as a facilitator or a coordinator. So the orchestrator model in IRSN is highly regarded framework, drawing from the supply chain practices of numerous multinational corporations, particularly in the realm of export sourcing, distribution, and retailing. So this kind of a thing you can see when you're talking of units which are, you know, manufacturing, let's say, potato chips or tomato ketchup, etc. So this is the model which comes into play. So in this model, cluster of small and medium-sized enterprises, each possessing expertise in various production processes essential for the creation of, example given here is garment, fabrics, similar products, collaborate and synchronize their efforts throughout the product life cycle. So, you know, when we are talking of a rural supply chain, it could be even like when cotton is grown, then there are certain actions which happen in the rural supply chain, like de-seeding of the cotton, the spinning, etc. of the cotton, and the yarn is being made. Or sometimes even lesser processes are conducted, before they are moved to the organized sector for downstream value addition. So in the example here, we are talking of creation of garments, fabrics, and similar products, collaborate and synchronize their efforts throughout the product life cycle. An orchestrator serves as the intermediary between supply and demand. So they are the facilitators, aggregating customer requirement and overseeing production activities to ensure a proper alignment between the market demand and the available supply. So what are the key features of integrated rural supply chain network? One, collaboration. So various stakeholders, including farmers, supplier, logistics provider, retailers, and financial institutions, engage in cooperative efforts to enhance the efficiency of the entire supply chain, spanning from production to consumption. So everyone is actually in a collaboration, and they are working in close coordination to achieve the goal of, you know, completing the production and delivering the product to the end consumer. Connectivity. This aspect focuses on the development of infrastructure such as roads, communication systems, and storage facilities that link rural regions with urban centers, thereby facilitating market access and lowering the expenses. And here, infrastructure, as we have already discussed, is more of a government kind of a responsibility. But infrastructure such as, you know, warehouses or silos or cold stores, etc., this can be developed by the supply chain. Roads, we have seen that, I mean, this is more of investment which is made by the government. Communication systems, because for the system to operate effectively, effective communication is necessary. Storage facilities, we have already talked about. So all these are facilitating components within the supply chain. So connectivity is the key here. Technology. The integration of technology is essential in rural supply chain, as it facilitates a real-time data exchange, goods tracking, and inventory management, and enhances decision-making process throughout the network. So we have seen that technology plays a role in real-time information of inventory. So it tells you exactly what inventory you are holding, where is the material moving, where is it at any given point of time, which we talked about tracking of the logistics, that is the vehicle movements, etc., so that you can very accurately predict when the material is going to be delivered at the either processing house or at the consumer. Efficiency. The amalgamation of different elements within the supply chain minimizes waste, enhances resource utilization, and optimizes logistics. So this results in cost reduction and improved market pricing for producers in the rural areas. So what you're doing is you are actually compressing the lead time right from the produce to the end product and till the time it reaches the end customer. So by doing so, you are reducing the working capital which is required to process the material and deliver it to the customer. You're doing it efficiently at minimum cost, so that it's a cost reduction and profit maximization which occurs in the market. So it also gives you improved market pricing in terms of, like I always say, you know, that the pricing is dictated by the market. And if you can reduce the cost, it basically adds to your profitability. Sustainability. So integrated rural supply chains prioritize sustainable methodologies, such as employing environmentally friendly transportation, ensuring responsible sourcing, and minimizing carbon emission. So we have seen that in sustainability, we are talking of circular economy, we are talking of environmental friendly methods to be used, which do not impact the environment, and using organic farming techniques, using bio insecticide, pesticides, etc., which you know are permissible for the organic farming, etc. So basically sustainable methods, value addition. So by incorporating processing and packaging within the supply chain, rural regions can enhance the value of raw material, thereby boosting their economic returns. So value addition is, we talked about like paddy, you know, the rice that is grown is actually red in color because of, you know, the need to polish the rice. So the value addition can be in terms of further processing the rice to actually make it polished rice, further packing it into retail packs, etc. Likewise, you know, for vegetable produce, for example, you have tomatoes. Now, because it's a perishable thing, you can actually process it into a tomato pulp, which finds input in many of the food industry, in the food and beverage industry. So doing value addition of this kind can actually, extend the life of the product in the sense that, you know, it no longer remains perishable and it can be stored for a longer period of time once it is processed. So these kind of value additions can be done by the rural supply chain. Market access. So these networks facilitate rural producers in accessing broader or international markets, transcending local boundaries and augmenting their income opportunities. Partly this happens through the various platforms, online platforms, etc., which actually gives them wider access to the markets. Also sometimes, you know, packaging of the goods and adding value to the goods, like for example, we talked about, you know, converting the tomatoes into tomato pulp or puree, etc. So these can make it find a better market, you know, for the products, a wider market. So what are the developments taking place in the supply chain? Let's look at some of the developments which are already happening. Digitization and automation. So we have seen that there is already Internet of Things and smart logistics, where you can track the shipments in real time. You exactly know where the shipments are. Also, you can use automation for repetitive tasks, where instead of a human being, you can have the tasks being carried out by certain softwares. We also saw that there are certain online platforms and online softwares where human intervention is not required. So you can log in, you can place your orders, etc., and the system would take care. So this kind of automation also plays a major role. E-commerce integration. So rural e-commerce platforms, logistics and fulfillment innovations. We've already seen that there are a couple of companies which are providing this kind of a platform for the farmers, which are specifically meant for the farm products or rural markets. Sustainability and green supply chain. So reducing the environmental impact, agroecology, organic farming. We also saw use of solar energy, wind energy, sustainable transport solutions, even where you have a limitation of, let's say, the infrastructure, use of drone technology, etc., you know, which can help you a great deal. Cold chain development, so extending the life of perishable products. So improved cold chain infrastructure, remote monitoring and control. So this is another part of the Internet of Things, where you can remotely monitor the temperatures which are maintained while the goods are being transported. So this is another aspect of the cold chain development, which is also dependent on the IoT. Last mile delivery innovations. So use of drones, autonomous delivery vehicles, and smart hubs. Smart hubs are, you know, where the goods are redistributed. So you have the goods coming from multiple spokes, and at the hub, they are digitally, you know, detected as to the destination for these consignment or goods, and they are redistributed and sent back to the vehicles which go to the destinations. So this kind of a smart hub these technologies already exist. Data-driven decision-making, advanced analytics and artificial intelligence, supply chain optimization platforms. So these are actually helping with decision-making in the area of demand planning, even in terms of optimization of processes, including transportation, logistics, etc. Collaborative network and farmer cooperative. So shared resources and collective bargaining, collaborative digital platforms. So there are platforms which are offering benefits to the collaborative or the cooperatives, where you know people can get the best possible prices. They can monitor what are the prices available in the market. The demand and the supply can be monitored, and the farmers or the cooperative can time their sale of the produce in the market. Rural infrastructure improvement. So roads and connectivity, smart rural infrastructure. We already talked about, you know, in terms of the bridges and the roads, etc., that needs to be improved upon. Resilient and agile supply chain. So supply chain which are resilient to risks, to crisis, and through mitigation efforts, etc. And agile networks which can quickly respond to any crisis or even any change in the circumstances which require immediate action. Financial inclusion and access to capital. So you have digital financial services, microloans, microcredits, etc. Also you have the insurance, you know, for the farmers, you know, to protect them against some of the natural calamities. Local sourcing and resilient regional supply chains. So hyper-local production, regional supply chain networks. So you try to do near sourcing. So rather than, you know, depending on the services or supply from far-off networks, you try and, depend on the hyper-local, so that, you know, there are no delays and the quality of the service can be much better. Consumer-centric supply chain. So demand-driven systems, customized product and services. So when we say demand-driven is, you know, when the demand tends to fluctuate, so you are making supplies to the end consumer or the retailer based on the demand, and rather than, you know, actually supplying material as it is produced. This way you can also regulate how the harvesting happens, you know, so whether it is a perishable product, natural product, etc., you can regulate the harvesting based on the demand. So development taking place in supply chain. The landscape of rural supply chain management is on the brink of significant change, which we are seeing, because with the various technological changes which are happening, there is a lot of technology which is driving the rural economy or the rural supply chain. So driven by technological innovations, sustainability initiatives, and a growing emphasis on local resilience. We talked about resilience in the earlier chapter, where any disruptions will have minimum impact on the supply chain. So as rural regions adopt digital technologies, automation, and cooperative networks, supply chains are expected to enhance their efficiency, transparency, and adaptability. We have seen this, that, you know, you are compressing the lead times, you are reducing the time the material is actually on the roads, and how the technologies are helping you, one, in transparency, in terms of visibility of the inventory, in terms of movement of the goods, you know, from the producer to the end consumer in the shortest possible time, at the shortest or the least cost. So transparency and adaptability in response to market needs. We also saw this, that, you know, the demand-based supply, you know, where you can regulate the supply based on what the actual market requirement is, so as to, you know, prevent oversupply or to meet the customer requirement as it occurs, and the environmental issues. So by prioritizing these development trends, rural communities will be more equipped to succeed in a progressively interconnected global economy, resulting in supply chains that are both efficient and environmentally sustainable. So naturally, when you have efficiency and optimization, not only cost, but the environmental impact of logistics, etc., will be minimized. Also with technologies like EV, etc., you are further reducing the impact on the environment of the logistical movement, etc. And also overall efficiency of the operation, the entire supply chain, can be improved.